You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome in to the Odds and Audibles podcast, spring game pregame edition. I'm Matt Prame, Eric Scopo, Jared Mack on today's show. We're recording this on the 26th of April. It's about, 28 hours away from the spring game kicking off. Oregon will have a Saturday, April 27th at Austin Stadium, 1 p.m. You can catch it on the Pac-12 network before it fades away into oblivion. And if you don't have Pac-12 Network, this is the last time you have to worry about that. But nonetheless, all three of us will be there. We'll have our intern there. Our photographers will be there. It will be a full game experience for us here at DuckTerritory.com. We're excited to see it. And on today's show, we're going to kind of talk about what we're excited to see. Because to be honest with you, spring access this year has been very minimal. It's almost been worse than in-season access. So we haven't seen a lot. We've heard a lot. We've heard a lot about guys talking about players and schemes and formations and whatnot, but we actually haven't seen it. So this is going to be our first real chance to see a lot of these guys in action. And there's going to be a lot of storylines to watch. We may have some overlap here. We're coming in blind, and I think that's the best way to do it in these regards. So we may have some overlap. We may not. I guess I'll start off with the offensive side of the football. I'm assuming one of you two will talk about Dylan Gabriel and Dante Moore. So I elected to kind of focus on quarterbacks, but also Austin Novosad, a guy that's just been cast away, I think, by a lot of people outside the program as very little confidence he does anything at Oregon. He's only been here for a year, which is crazy to me. He's put on 30 pounds. Will Stein says he's got total command of the offense now. He's playing really well, according to Will Stein. He's a former Elite 11 quarterback. He's a former four-star quarterback. What does Austin Novosad do in this spring game? I think he's going to be the one that gets the bulk of the remaining snaps between after Gabriel, after Dante Moore. I think Novosad will get the good chunk of the rest that's left. Maybe Luke Moga, a true freshman, gets a couple here and there. But this will be Austin Novosad's chance to really kind of showcase what he can do. He didn't do much in the first spring game last season for him, for his career. I didn't get a lot of opportunities, understandably so. But I'm excited to see what he looks like. He looks different. He's apparently playing better. What kind of impact, and can he make a case that, hey, this just isn't Dante Moore's job locked up a year in advance when Gabriel moves on?
Yeah, there's certainly an opportunity for him to kind of showcase himself in front of the Oregon fan base. He got an opportunity in the Fiesta Bowl and did pretty well there, after Ty Thompson already left the program. It's certainly a guy who I'm interested to watch. And I think that you're right, Matt, like a lot of people have kind of dismissed his potential to be like the starting quarterback in 2025, I guess it is, after a whole nother year with the program. But I think it'll be a fun quarterback competition. I'm still interested to see what Oregon ultimately elects to do with Dante Moore, whether they redshirt him and make Novosad the backup or whether that's a real competition for the number two spot. But I think that's something we'll just find out eventually. Eric, do you have thoughts on Novosad, or should I go with whatever I'm going to do?
Not really. Just I'm excited to see all the quarterbacks. So if there's more quarterback discussion to be had later, we can have it. If not, I'll add some on the end of my offensive takeaway.
And then I guess I'll jump into mine. It's kind of an interesting one because it's going to be tough to do in a spring game, but I'm kind of just looking for rotations, just seeing who's going to be like the number ones or the number twos. We still have no idea what the actual spring game is going to look like. And we're, like Matt said, like 28, 25, 27 hours away from the game actually starting. So we just found out that there's guest coaches as of two minutes ago in Troy Dye and Kenyon Barner. So okay. That's fun content. But we're just gonna find out what the rotations kind of look like. I think for me specifically, I'm interested to see what the offensive line will look like. We know that Dave Iuli is like hurt right now. He's been on a scooter, so we probably won't see him at the guard.
Was he
going to be on the green team?
He was going to be on the green team. He shared that on Instagram today.
Okay.
Oh, cool. So I guess it's probably green and yellow again.
Wait, so breaking, we kind of have a format based upon Dave Iuli sharing something on social. So it's green against yellow, maybe. Breaking news.
That sounds about right. I was interested to see what the guard play would look like. I think that's like the most, the biggest spot for rotations that's going to happen on the offensive side of the ball, especially the offensive line. And then just wide receivers. That's going to be the other thing that I kind of pay attention to because, Will Stein talked about it where they might go more than four deep this year. I don't know. Same with Junior Adams. I think he said something about that a couple weeks ago as well, but I'm just there for the rotations. Like, it's cool to go watch the plays, but when we haven't seen a damn thing, that's like one of the first things I'm going to be focusing on to just have a better understanding of what Will and or I guess Dan kind of wants to do with the offense.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see how much we can take away from some of these rotations because of how they're going to split it. It will be good. I think it'll be fun to see, like, who succeeds together, who fails together, if that makes sense. Just if like these groups worked or didn't work. So yeah, I'm with you. That'll be fun to track. I'll do one and then like one and a half. Just the one thing, and it'll be quicker, is I'm just curious to watch Poncho play at center. Yeah. Like, this is a pretty big, you know, replacing Jackson Powers Johnson, who will be drafted at some point later today on Friday. A player who was so successful last year. It's a pretty big shoes to step into, and I think everybody was really fired up by how he performed in the Fiesta Bowl. But, like, there's a lot to playing center that you have to deal with that you don't have to at guard. And this is a guy who grew up playing guard and hadn't played center really at all until a year ago when he got here. So how does he handle that? How does he snap? That was a thing I know he talked about in the lead-up to the Fiesta Bowl. It was kind of his area of concern, was just consistency snapping. I think he said, and coaches have said, that looks better, but he's a player just I'll be kind of focusing in on just to see how he performs. Because speaking to your point on the offensive line, I think his development, we're all like kind of assuming he's going to be really good. But what if he's not, you know? And I mean, I think he will be, but if he isn't, then you kind of go into the offseason going like, oh, maybe we have question marks at one of the more important offensive positions. So that's just like one specific guy. And then I'll just tie in the quarterback thing since we all elected not to really talk quarterbacks. And then maybe you guys can wrap it up with more of your big picture quarterback thoughts, because I think we probably need to have more discussion. Sure. I'm just excited by the newness. Like, we really haven't seen any of these guys play at Oregon. I mean, I consider, like, I think I wrote in my column, you know, my five things to watch for, of like, I consider Novosad like an honorary newcomer because he played like, what, 60 snaps maybe last year. I don't even know if it's that many. It might be. I think it's less. And he
probably less.
Probably like 30 maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I'll give it a look.
Did he get in the regular season? I can't remember if he did or not.
Yeah, he did.
He played at the end of in some FCS kind of garbage time. And then he obviously played 26. There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, we haven't really seen him play. Obviously, we have not seen any of these other guys play at all. I mean, you've got two transfers and a true freshman. So at quarterback, it's just a lot of newness and like first impressions for basically all these guys. And we've heard so many good things about Dylan and Dante and Austin's progression, and Luke, it sounds like, has a lot of physical tools that everybody's excited about. So, I mean, I haven't seen any of these guys do much of anything here. So I'm really excited just to big picture quarterback to watch all those guys. And then I guess to wrap up the Austin conversation we were kind of having earlier, I think this is like a really big spring game for him. And I'm not saying it's like a make or break, because I think he has obviously opportunity to kind of make another impression next spring, assuming he's still here. But, you know, I think there's a lot, as the point we made earlier, like there's a lot of talk of like, okay, it's Dylan this year, and then it's the torch being handed to Dante. And if you're Austin, you're probably going like, hey, what about me? I'm the exact same age as this other guy that we're handing the torch to. I've been here longer. Let's see what he does on, I guess, tomorrow, which is, I guess I'm really excited just to see how he kind of lines up and performs, because we haven't really seen this guy at all.
I was trying to like rack my brain about previous competitions going into like the summer or even into the fall, of like the totality of newness. Like I can't remember, like every year it feels like, okay, like Nate Costa didn't win the job and he wasn't ever going to be the number one quarterback. But you knew in like the mid 2000s, like, hey, this is your backup. He's been at Oregon for 2 or 3 years. Or like when Mariota beat out Brian Bennett, like there was a lot of excitement for Mariota, but we had seen a ton of Bennett the year before at quarterback.
He was kind of low key good, by the way. Like he wasn't a bad player.
And he was supposed to be the starter, and Mariota was going to wait a year. And this year, like, it just, there's a lot of uncertainty. Like, we don't know, like, we assume Dante Moore is the number two. Like, and I agree with Jared, like, do they redshirt him? I don't know if they do or not. But I don't know if there's, like, that definitive confidence that, like, hey, we could be wrong. And Dante Moore, like, Austin Novosad's year in the system has kept him above Dante Moore right now. I don't know. I don't think that's what's happening, but it wouldn't surprise me. I just think this position group, it's Dylan Gabriel who's starting, but he's never played at Oregon before, so that's new. And then everyone behind him, it could go a whole bunch of different combinations, and you couldn't really argue against it.
Yeah, and I think that's the fun part of the quarterback room. It's like, we don't freaking know. Like, we just know that Dylan Gabriel is going to be the starter. And I think that there was like a week where somebody brought up the idea that that was a competition between him and Dante Moore. And it's like, no, there was never a competition. And that's not to say that Dante Moore can't be good, or that Austin Novosad can't get a run for his money, but Dylan Gabriel is a damn good quarterback, which like to go more about the game. Like, I think that's one of the most exciting things that I'm looking forward to, is just seeing like Dylan Gabriel throw some passes in an Oregon uniform. Watched a lot of Dylan Gabriel tape. Very exciting player, very fun player to watch. Throws the ball deep a lot. Like, if people don't like Bo Nix's A-dot, they're going to love Dylan Gabriel's A-dot. I'm not going to say he's going to look like Michael Penix because he's a lefty quarterback, but it will have some of that vibes where he's just chucking it down there. And I don't mean that in any bad way. I just think that that's what Gabriel's arm strength and ability are going to allow Will Stein's offense to do. So I think we'll see a lot of that happen, especially with Evan Stewart and Trayshawn Holden down there using his bigger body. And then just like a quick another offense. I'm excited to see the freshman wide receivers. Just a real quick win.
I think the thing at quarterback is, for a competition that has no intrigue for the starter, the rest of it is like super intriguing, strangely. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of know it's Gabriel, but we still have a lot of fun things to talk about. And then we'll see on tomorrow. We'll make a bunch of big conclusions that probably shouldn't be made. And we'll talk about it all off season. And then we'll get into fall and we'll see what actually happens and who's actually good and who's not good and everything. But it's a really fun quarterback situation. And I think ultimately, I think it's a better quarterback situation than Oregon has had. I'm not saying Dylan Gabriel's better than Bo Nix or Justin Herbert or anything like that. Maybe he'll prove to be, but collectively it's a really strong room, which has not always been the case here.
Two questions I have for you guys. How much of Noah Whittington do we see at running back? Could this be like the Jay Harris and Jaden Lamar show? And then secondly, should they play Ferg and Herbert a ton, or should they keep them, you know, very couple reps, you know, a couple series, get him in, get him out, and then let Sadiq and the freshmen and the walk-ons perform the rest of the spring game. Those are, like, I don't really know how much we're going to see of either Whittington, Ferguson, and Herbert.
I mean, I would throw Jordan James in the list too.
Yeah.
Like, what do we need to see from any of those guys? Like, we
Tez Johnson could go on the list. Trishon Holden could go on the list. You could have a very long list of guys who shouldn't play very much.
Yeah, and that's okay because, you know, last couple of years in Oregon spring game, you know, when those guys, when the star players aren't playing, then there's a lot of like walk-ons and not a lot of depth there. Oregon's got a lot of depth at all these positions and has some exciting names. So I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to any of those guys sitting out just to see the backup guys and the like the true freshmen, especially at the wideouts like I was talking about. But I'm, you know, for Whittington specifically, I wouldn't be surprised if he just doesn't play. Yeah. Because
agreed.
Why bother? Because we're not, he's not 100%. He's been doing practices and we've been seeing him, you know, return kicks, do the sideline tackle drills. But yeah, like it's a spring game. It doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah, you know what you've got there. I wouldn't risk it. And I would probably expect you don't see a lot of the tight ends and some of the veteran guys, excuse me, either. If Jared just kind of mentioned, I know we're kind of extending our offensive segment, but that's probably okay. Jared mentioned looking forward to the freshman receivers. Sadiq is a name I'm just really excited to watch, yeah. Matt. And you kind of clicked in my head because you brought up the fact that maybe we don't see much Ferg and Herbert, and I would be probably okay with that. Not that I don't like watching those guys play, but like Sadiq is somebody who everybody's fired up about. Everybody's talking about the strides he's made. And, you know, physically, we were so excited about everything he could provide a year ago, and he looks even bigger. I mean, this guy came in looking pretty yoked up to begin with, but he looks even a step kind of further entrenched there, you know, with the work that Wilson Love and company have done. So, like, if I'm just picking an offensive guy, I'm really excited to watch specifically. I know I kind of had Poncho there as a kind of a storyline, but like, give me some Kenyon Sadiq. I wouldn't be surprised if he's pretty dang involved. I mean, Will Stein has said as much so far in spring practice. So
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
You want to go defense?
Sure. Yeah, we can start a little defensive conversation now. There's a lot of different choices here. So I'll pick one that's like a little bit more specific, which is like I'm just really curious on the veteran corners, how they perform. We kind of talked about this previously, but like I feel like this is a really big day for Dante Manning and Nico Reed. They brought in these two big-time transfer corners, Jabbar Muhammad and Cam Alexander, who I'm really excited to watch play as well. But for these two senior guys who've been here for a minute and they both had starting experience, like this is your moment. Jaleel Florens isn't going to take part in the spring game. You know, Roger Pleasant won't be taking part in the spring game. We don't know what the future holds for Dalen Austin. There's like, you know, these are three of the guys who you would be maybe competing with for playing time, and they're not taking part in this in the spring game, what, you know, what can you put out there? What can you put on tape? What kind of an impression can you make? And I did think it was notable that I think it was Tosh who kind of highlighted both those guys, both Dante and Nico, yesterday as guys who have been kind of leaders and maybe taking a step. So obviously it sounds like good things have come from both of those guys, but you know, what do they show on Saturday? Because I think for both, you know, maybe I'll just speak for myself. I feel like it's been up and down. Like there've certainly been games where I've been really excited by what Dante Manning did or what Nico Reed did, but you could also go through a lot of these other games and you'd find plays that were not quite as good. So the consistency to kind of be a lockdown corner and the fact that you're facing against such a talented receiving core, like I think we can actually draw some conclusions maybe from how these guys perform. So corner in general is a big question mark for me, but just highlight on a couple of guys. Those two, obviously, I'm interested in. And then, of course, what the transfer guys look like. I mean, do we come out of Saturday saying, oh, it's going to be Jabbar and Cam, those are starting corners, or do we come out saying, oh, maybe it's a little more complicated than that?
Yeah, that was going to be mine. But I like it. I think it's a good pick because I do think that's one of the bigger question marks. Matt, you got anything?
Yeah, I had talked about defensive line and the younger guys in particular, because just like kind of that quarterback behind Gabriel, like we don't know what any of these dudes really can do outside of maybe one or two. And they're going to have to play a lot of defensive linemen. And they talked about, you know, I don't know if Tosh was being deadpan funny on Thursday. I couldn't quite get the vibe there. Or if he was like serious, but he's like, we only added one guy in the portal. So we're going to have to ask these freshmen. And I have to remind myself that they're still freshmen. Like, I couldn't quite read.
That was one of the few times I think he was being genuine. As opposed to when he said that the defense would be a successful day if they have 10 turnovers and 3 touchdowns, which I doubt is really the threshold.
But he talked about like, hey, I got to remind myself these are younger guys that, you know, they're still trying to adjust to the game. They're still trying to learn our scheme and what we want them to do and need them to do. But there's also the challenge of like, if you're going to play, you got to be ready if you're going to be out there. And what do these defensive linemen look like? That's like, we know what I feel like, even though Caldwell's never played a down at Oregon, we know what he can do. Keon Ware Hudson's is a veteran, experienced player. Jordan Birch is a stud. Yeah. Ben Roberts redshirted last season, but has played in some handful of games. But then after that, it's like Amari Washington's kind of your next most experienced player, and he's a sophomore, and I think he played in like 7 or 8 games.
Something like that. Like,
there's not a lot of experience here. And, you know, we saw Johnny Bowens enter the portal today. Jared put the story up on duckterritory.com. So that's one less defensive lineman that they have in the group. But where do these guys fit? What combinations do we see, and how do they look? And, you know, like you can make some judgments in spring games and go like, yeah, this position group needs to be upgraded, or yeah, this position group is fine. They don't need to go into the portal. And I think we'll get a good sense of that for the D line of kind of what Oregon's ideas will be post spring game with portal activity.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest question mark. That's why, like, that was the number one thing on my transfer portal wish list for a long time. Because there's Tosh even talked about it. He's like, 4 of our top 5 interior defensive linemen are gone now. And it's just the youth. There's a lot of talent there. Like a lot of 4-star kids. You know, they bring in even more this year with Aiden Breland, and whose name is slipping my memory, Jericho Johnson. Like, there's a lot of talent there, which is great, and you love having talented kids, but experience will and does matter, especially moving into the Big Ten, where you know, there's a lot of big old offensive lines in the Big Ten who are experienced, who do have that physicality that you get more when you're like a junior or senior rather than when you're a freshman or a sophomore or a redshirt freshman, whatever the case is. So it's going to be an interesting one. I'm excited to watch those guys because I do think that there's a lot of talent. I have one more, but Eric, what do you got on the D-line?
Oh, I didn't have a ton more. Yeah, I mean, I think you guys kind of covered it. I guess I'd be curious to see, like, based upon Johnny entering the portal, like, how self-assured do the rest of these guys feel about their spots? You know what I mean? Like, is, and I guess, what does that mean for what Oregon's doing big picture through the portal? Like, is this a sign that they're going to add another player? Is this a sign that they're going to need to, you know, that they're staying pat, or is this a sign that there's going to be more attrition to come? Like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to read because they still have a ton of bodies here, but as we've kind of established, like, we don't really know what most of these guys are yet. So, but yeah, no, I think you guys covered the defensive line part pretty well. I mean, there's just a lot of questions, a lot of guys I want to watch. Like, I guess for me, I've always been a Terrence Green fan for whatever reason. I think it's just because of how he looks walking up into practice. We haven't seen him do anything yet. So I will be kind of keeping an eye on 99. I guess that's my defensive line guy I'll be kind of watching for.
My big defensive storyline that I want to follow is what the safety grouping looks like. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of question marks of not really like who the personnel are, but who is going to play where, because, you know, Oregon in the offseason has added, you know, Brandon Johnson and Kobe Savage to their room. You know, Aaron Flowers is a true freshman. They don't really have like a deep safety unless it's going to be Kingston Lopa. Like, it seems like the addition of Brandon Johnson, who's not on campus right now, mind you, seems like that's going to be their star safety next year, because that's like the only place he played at Mike Elko's Duke defense in a 4-2-5 last year. So where does Tysheem Johnson play? Does he play boundary? Do they move him to free and move Kobe Savage to boundary? Like, what does Tyler Turner and Cody DeCamber look like? Is Aaron Flowers like that dude? We heard a lot of good things about him during the recruiting camps, and I think specifically it was the Army All-American Bowl, if I remember correctly, either that or the Under Armour one. Like, they did like a lot of good things about him. He had a lot of physical plays in those bowl games, and the practice reports, he was always like one of the best players on the field. But does that translate into the next level? And I think we're really going to get an opportunity to see how all of that transpires in the spring game for, again, like the first time of really – it's not going to be the ones and the twos on, you know, the green's not going to be one, yellow's not going to be two, but you're going to get a better idea of what's going on with that safety room, which I have a lot of questions about.
That's a good one. And I guess to piggyback off that, Tysheem is someone I'm just really fascinated by, because I think, I forget, maybe it was Tosh even yesterday, but somebody recently has said he's been forced to kind of play more deep, and I think that's going to be his role. So how does he perform there? You know, and this is a guy who I thought last year was pretty darn good playing nickel. If he's going to play a totally different position, how does he look playing there? And then I guess just kind of another element of that is, do we see a couple of guys? I mean, because again, we haven't been able to really pick up much from practice about where players are working. And the secondary in particular, so much cross training. Like, maybe there's a guy who's working at a position we're just not expecting. We get to the spring game and player X is like, right, oh my gosh, he's like a full-time free safety. We thought he was more of a hybrid nickel corner. Like, I don't know. Maybe we come out of that feeling that way, but safety and corner in particular, I think are the ones where, I guess defensive line, maybe there's just questions everywhere on defense because of so much roster turnover. But I'm fascinated to see what the secondary looks like. And especially now that it's just Chris Hampton's room. So do you have anything else, Matt?
I mean, I just think, to Jared's point, like, we don't really know about deep safety, and that might be one where we see them go into the portal too, and
could be,
and post spring kind of evaluate situations and go like, hey, like, we need someone else that can play deep safety. They've got their names attached to a couple guys in the portal already. I don't think there's — this is just me reading the tea leaves and speculating and not reporting anything. But I think there's not a coincidence that Oregon maybe needs to add a veteran piece at defensive line, and a younger defensive lineman entered the portal today. Like, I don't think that's a surprise at all in just my looking at it. And so maybe we see Oregon also go portal in post spring with a safety, depending on how they feel at that group. I don't know. We'll unfortunately never get like a coach to come out and be like, yeah, we need to add a safety in the portal, or we need to add a point guard in the portal for basketball. Like, that just never really happens anymore. But I think that could be a position as well.
Jared, are you excited for Devin Jackson? Cause this has like been the talk of from the defensive coaches. They're so fired up about him. I figured that would be your player to watch.
He certainly is. And yeah, no, I'm just glad that everybody's seeing the vision now. I saw it 2 years ago when he came to campus. I'm glad the coaching staff finally agreed with
figured me. It out.
Yeah, they finally figured it out. I love the kid. I think he's just the perfect prototypical modern day linebacker. He reminds me a lot of what's his name? N'Kobe Dean when he played at Georgia. Just a guy who's coast to coast, or excuse me, sideline to sideline, just can cover anybody, plays with passion. Like, I'm very excited to see him go out there. And yeah, he's going to have a bigger role. He's probably going to be what Jamal Hill was last season. And that makes me even more excited. I'm very excited that there's a lot of talk about the town with my guy, Devin Jackson.
As there should be. If you can run 10-5 in 100, people should be talking about you. I think it's going to come together based. I mean, what did Tosh say yesterday?
Tosh said he's the most improved winner. If they had a most improved award for spring football, he would be the winner on the defensive side. I wish we could have asked him why, but
he explained it a little bit. He said the communication's gotten better. But yeah, that was, I think, the last question of the whole thing, perhaps.
But yeah, I mean, that's a dude that's freak athlete, freak track speed. And if he has the size and now has the improved skill set and IQ, like, those are the players that he talked about earlier, where Dan and I had a plan of reloading and retooling the position group and or the defense. And he fits that dynamic of really big, really fast, really strong. And if, yeah, he makes plays, he'll force his way onto the field. And that's kind of what you want. Like, mm-hmm. You want guys to show up who are talented and then get drastically better and then force their way onto the field. And that just makes your depth even better.
And, like, maybe based upon certain personnel situations, you could play Devin and Bosa together to have two really athletic, smaller, you know, linebackers out there against specifically in passing situations. Obviously, we know Jacobs is not a bad pass defender either. I'm just saying you could have two ultra athletic, kind of almost defensive back athleticism type of players out there together, which could be
games great. When you play like Ohio State, like teams that are going to be throwing the ball all over the place.
Yeah, those kind of situations specifically, not against Wisconsin or Iowa. I know they're not playing Iowa, but theoretically, if they were playing Iowa, they would expect all the linebackers out there. You need all the big guys. What about special teams? Anything there? What are we looking for? It's the only thing we get to watch, so we've already seen a lot of it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, a kicker making a field goal would be cool. We haven't seen that in practice for the last 3 weeks, so that'd be something to watch. It's like either Grant or Atticus Sappington. I want to see if Andrew Boyle kicks anything, just because we've been seeing him do kickoff work and practice, and then Joe Lurie's like, "Yeah, no, he's just not available." Like,
that was weird.
I saw him today, Joe. Saw him today. I didn't get that. I'm not sure if there's really a punting competition, unlike what Joe Lurie said, because Ross James was so damn good last year, but. I enjoy watching good punts. Gage Hirk, good punter, surprisingly. Had like a 4.84 hang time the other day. So certainly some names to know, but somebody making a field goal would be cool.
Ross James and the punter stuff, like the stuff that Lorig said about him, Ray Guy Award potential, like you don't want to see your team punt, but at the same time, I want to see if it's real.
I mean, it's a funny one because he was awesome last year, but it was such a small sample size that it kind of took away some of the possibility to have like he kicked it off the side of his foot and it went 35 yards. Because I think it was like 18 punts in a 14 game season or something stupid like that. Like, I don't remember the exact number, was. Jared, you can use the Google machine if you'd like to find that. If not, it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. I think Ross is one of the most, I mean, we're talking most improved on defense with Devin Jackson. Like, I think undoubtedly Ross was probably like the most improved player on the entire team last year, almost just because of like, he couldn't, and the punting position was atrocious in 22.
Yeah.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. 27 punts,
27.
Which I do remember that in order to qualify, you have to average like 2.5 punts per game. And he did not. So he did not qualify. Iowa's punter did.
Of course, I was punter. how many punts? I was punter probably like 70 punts on the season last year.
It's quite absurd. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, I wonder how many punts Ross James had. Like, what was the most in a single game
for him? I think it was Utah, and it was like three, maybe. It wasn't a ton. That's a good question. Right? I don't know, all the numbers in front, but yeah, I mean, like, Joe was just hyping this guy up, but we saw him kind of, back to my point, like, we saw him so briefly last year. He was so good whenever we did see him. Let's see him do it again on Saturday, and let's assume he's maybe getting better, which is another thing that both Laura again and Ross talked about this week. We'll have a kind of a story on that growth sometime after the spring game. But I'm special teams is maybe not leading the segment here, but you know, I mean, fun to see some guys kick some balls, and hopefully they go pretty far.
Yeah. Iowa's punter had 94 last year.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot.
Ross James's single game high was 5 against Utah. 250 yards, so 50 on the dot average total.
So that's like 9 per game for Iowa's
94.
I assume they play 12, right? Or they play
they play 13.
13. They made a bowl game, probably 14-5. That's what they do.
Yeah, they made the Big Ten championship game.
True, that's right. Yeah, of course. Games. So they played 14. They played a lot. Let's not shortchange them. So 6 a game, 7 a game. It's crazy.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
So, but yeah, special teams are what they are. Just looking for field goal kickers.
Well, what about returns?
They're not going to do a return.
I don't think they'll be live.
Yeah,
I think they'll do 2-hand touch again. So I guess I'm curious to who's like back there. But yeah. I'm not sure we'll see much once
I
they
can
do.
Tell you.
Probably doesn't change there. What we actually saw in practice.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be very much. But like, I guess maybe we'll see kind of like only half the guys that we're seeing in practice do it. Yeah. So we'll get a sense of who they like more, or maybe we won't. I have no idea. Who knows? We don't know the format at all. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow?
Do you think we see a fan race Devin Jackson at halftime like they did with face last year?
Oh, was it Kamari?
Darren Barkins.
Darren Barkins. That's what it was, a couple years ago, right?
And then he bounced to UW.
It would be funnier to watch Roderick Pleasant just because he's like actually not Devin Slow, but Roderick Pleasant is like potentially an all Big Ten, I guess, sprinter in terms of his speed. Like he's run like sub 10-1, which is wild.
I'd rather them pick like Roderick Pleasant against an offensive guy like Evan Stewart, or they just pick the two fastest guys they have on the team. And one team, the guy that wins his team like a better post game meal or something.
What if it was like, now we're really getting off the rails, but anybody who's been to 7-on-7 or not 7-on-7, but like these prep camps for these recruits, it always ends with a 40-yard dash competition, and it's just every position group runs and then the winner of each group. What if they did that? Because I would want to watch like Bryce Bolton represent the offensive line against Devin Jackson and like, you know, Evan Stewart or whoever it would be. Oregon's got some fast guys. We ask everybody who's the fastest and no one has an answer. I feel like they need to race publicly.
That'd be pretty cool.
A public race is the only way to decide it.
We have to do it. Got to set it up. Go on, Dan.
Yeah, we'll let Dan know our thoughts on that and other things.
Sure.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us. Unless we got anything left to discuss. Any last parting thoughts?
Excited to see football. Hopefully it doesn't rain.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't rain.
That's what I got.
No rain, and somebody tell us what the format is.
Those would be great. Both of those things.
All right. That's going to do it for us here on the Odds and Audibles podcast. Until the next one, which will be a post-game edition of the spring game, you've been listening to the Odds and Audibles podcast.
Talk to you later, folks.
Peace.